our thinking, our philosophies of life. These are things we take for granted most of the time. That's just the way it is, we say, and we step out confidently upon that premise. But what extensive research and clinical study from Brazil is showing us is that we would do well to investigate a little deeper. Our thinking, as it turns out, is not always our own. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones, and today I'm thinking with somebody else's head, Fathers of the Lie, Part 2. Last time in our program, Cesar Sauce and I began our discussion about the leading thinkers who have had such an impact on our human civilization, and how their mistakes have led us collectively to the mess our modern society finds itself in today. We talked about Aristotle's monumental error of placing the senses as the determiner of knowledge. Nothing comes to the mind which doesn't pass first through the senses, Aristotle asserted, thereby enshrining sensory positivistic science as the lord of the domain. Aristotle's ideas were resisted for a few centuries, particularly by Augustine, who leaned more towards Plato's universality, and Anselm. But Aquinas, the great medieval theologian, brought Aristotle back to the forefront, and the battle was on. Francis Bacon, Descartes, Comte followed, and science changed from considering more metaphysical explanations for the origin of things to seeing all phenomena only in terms of its physical characteristics. Left in the wake as well were the moral or theological tenets of science, which became strictly materialistic. The Big Bang, the search for the particles that cause gravity or even intelligence and creativity, the destruction of material nature to get energy, all are consequences of this academic difference of opinion. Right away, we can see that philosophy and theology have dramatically influenced science, which does not come solely from experimentation at all, as scientists would have us believe. Dr. Norberto Kepi's analytical trilogy is a more advanced science because it accepts the important discoveries and truths from philosophy and theology in its scientific postulates. Dr. Kepi was telling a group of us recently that analytical trilogy is a science that accepts and integrates what's true from all fields. And this is possible because of two things. Kepi's establishing of a true metaphysics on which to base an analysis of anything, and Kepi's clarification of what's going on in the human psyche, which causes us to misinterpret reality and put all sorts of inverted ideas into our theories. This is no small thing and difficult to explain in entirety, so I encourage you to read Kepi's work to get a fuller view. Our portal at trilogia.ws, trilogia.ws, will lead you in some interesting directions. And of course, you can always email me. I'm available all the time, rich@richjonesvoice.com. Last time we showed how Freud and Darwin made crucial errors that have led society and science in the wrong direction totally. Today I continue my fascinating discussion with Cesar Sauce about the next few fathers of the lie. Our next guy on the hit parade, 6-5, number 4 on our hit parade, is Karl Marx.
Karl Marx.
Yeah, this is, I think, something that's very interesting to talk about because we have all been socialized in my part of the world. Canada's, I would say, a more socialized country, very much like the Scandinavian countries. And so we have been very Marxized. We're not a communist country. We have social programs, but we've been very Marxized without perceiving it. We are thinking with Marx's head.
Oh, a lot.
How do you see this, Cesar?
The way Marx can fit into this list, it's also the same way the others we have spoken before. Marx gave this idea of, they all attacked spirituality. So Marx gave first the idea that spirituality, he said church, but I speak by saying church, institution, he was meaning other thing.
Yeah, the natural religiosity.
Spirituality. That this was the opium of the people. So what did he put in the place of the church? Do you know what? The state. It is even worse. So now, instead of believing that God is the owner of your body and soul, for example, in Marx Marxist countries, you believe the state is the owner of your body and soul, if you have a soul. They don't even believe in that. So what this led to? I remember some years ago, a group of terrorists invade a school in Russia, in Soviet Union. And Putin simply asked the policemen to enter and kill the hijackers, the terrorists.
Yeah. Not waiting to get the children out.
Yeah, they didn't want to make any deal, you know. What was the result of that? More than 300 kids, they were killed. That was a big slaughter, you know. And then you say, oh my God, this is crazy. How come he did that? And in human rights? Well, the answer to that is that for Russian people, your body belongs to the state. It doesn't belong to God, or there is no ethics at all. Your body belongs to the state. If they believe they can kill you, they will do it if it's good for the state. So there is no deal with them. So in other words, they cut. Marx helped humanity to praise institutions, to be like slaves of institutions.
In other words, we need the institutions. Yeah. Without the institutions, we're dead. We're done for.
Institutions are the church today in Russia. Institutions are like the gods.
But you know, it's very interesting because this is not true only in socialist or communist countries, but in our capitalist countries, we see now a lot of this kind of mandating by the state. You know, the home security, they deem that there's a terrorist attack, and by instituting the various laws, the Patriots Act, they take away the freedoms of the individual in favor of the state.
And in the capitalist countries and democratic countries like our country, in the United States especially, and what happens? Media is used to brainwash the people.
Yeah.
What is interesting for the capitalist, savage capitalists, the media says. What is not, they don't say.
Yeah, they don't talk about.
You don't talk about.
And they mandate all sorts of things by saying, well, now we have a national crisis, we have a domestic crisis, and so we have to mandate, we have to force you to do something that you don't want to do, but you have to do for the good of the state. Or we have secrets that we have to keep secret from you because the state needs to keep this state a secret. But what is the state? The state is the people in the country. And so,
yeah, like this case of the swine flu, for example, they made such a thing out of nothing, you know. And now they are selling millions and millions and millions of vaccines just for profits of pharmaceutical companies.
And I'm thinking,
we know
the,
that.
Yes, I'm thinking of this current situation where some people want to start suing the CIA for illegal torture, what they consider torture of prisoners, and the way is that the state had of getting around the Geneva Convention by saying that these people don't belong to a country, they're independent of any country, therefore they don't adhere to the Geneva Convention. What's this? This is lawyerese, you know, to find a way around what we know to be ethical and true. This is evil.
Yes.
Really it is.
Really evil.
Yeah.
This is Karl Marx.
Next we have Adam Smith, and right along with Karl Marx, right? We had Adam Smith, Marx coming after Smith, but here on the Hit Parade, Smith being of more concern for Dr. Kepi in terms of the people who've caused the problems, Smith being of more serious nature than Marx.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, well, Darwin may have based his theory on Adam Smith as well, because he said, in other words, he led humanity to believe that whoever has money or succeeds in the money market, this guy is evolved, is the strongest. And he has the rights, for example, to step on the others down, because this is part of natural evolution. But the basic problem of Adam Smith is that when he set forth his book, The Wealth of Nations, in 1776, if I'm not wrong, he said that if you allow people to look for what they want, if you give them free rein for it,
to do whatever they want,
whatever they want, in the end, the equilibrium will be reached through an invisible hand, like the fate of nature would lead humanity to be in equilibrium, and everyone would be pleased having what they wanted.
Yeah, in the end, everything would be okay.
Everything would be okay.
Would come out all right.
In a capitalistic society.
Well, that's very naive.
Very, very naive. And he shows that he had no knowledge of psychopathology at all. You know, at all. And this is the system we are living today. And worst of all is that he continued. He said that when somebody achieved their goals, achieved what he wanted, he would help others to achieve their goals as well, showing even more naive yet.
Which became Reagan's supply-side economics. You give the benefits to the people with the money, because if they have the money and they are successful, that naturally is going to trickle down to the people.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's totally crazy.
Totally crazy. When we are living inside a capitalistic system, and we don't stop to think that the roots are these roots.
Yes.
We are living the thoughts of these guys, as if money could buy everything in life. Everything is what money can buy. It's a materialistic society. Yeah,
in fact, we should try to control the people, because if we are free to do whatever we want, we will create exactly the kind of chaos that we see in the planet today. We will destroy everything. And so this has to be controlled inside the human being. Adam Smith said, no, just let it go. Everything will be fine. It'll all come out okay in the end. This is very, very naive.
And this beast of Adam Smith taught other little beasts who followed him that the market will have to supply things for the needs of the people. But if you have a product and there is no need, what do? You use the market to create the need.
Yeah.
So you create a lot of stupid needs, so people start to destroy even more the planet we live.
And this idea of a free market is totally crazy. It's not a free market at all. It's totally influenced. It's influenced by various members along the chain who have more influence, who have more say than others. And not to mention government. We're talking huge corporations now with millions, billions of dollars to spend on marketing, to stimulate, to create a need, to create a desire, or to take away a desire, to control the means of production, to control the distribution of goods. If we have another product that comes out on the market and the big guy doesn't like the product, he just completely destroys it, absorbs it. And so we don't have a free market at all. We have a totally dominated market by this powerful animal, savage capitalism.
You said it very nicely, Richard, because one of the basic things of the false prophet, characteristics of this false prophet, of the Antichrist, let's say, is to make you believe you are free. But you are a complete slave of the system. Complete slave of the system. We believe in what the media says. We believe we are free. We believe we live in a democratic world. But I ask you one question. Is it democracy when you brainwash the people and you ask them to vote? If you have a lot of brainwashed people, they will vote in what you want.
Yeah, for sure.
Nobody asks that.
Yeah.
They believe their choice is democracy.
And if you just look at the area of marketing, spin doctors, all of the people going into these kinds of branding areas, spin doctors, these are all coming from psychology. They're using the techniques of psychology, of mass convincing of people. They're using this for their purposes, for what they want, the agenda that they want to further.
For example, in this last September 11, I was watching the TV. They were replaying in TV what happened in the Twin Towers 8 years ago. And they were interviewing people on the street saying, what is your response to that? And people were furious saying, we have to invade Arabia and kill them all. They deserve to be extinguished from Earth. You know, this is a way of brainwashing people to provoke wars. American economy was completely ruined like it is now. One war in Iraq was not enough to recover the American economy. Now they are trying with this swine flu and whatever other flus, or I don't know what will they come up in the future. Adam Smith's capitalistic idea didn't work.
No, it's dead.
And in this sense, Karl Marx was right when he said that he criticized capitalism, saying that in the end of capitalism, you would have two sides. On one side, you would have a very little people with all the money and all the goods.
The haves.
And the other side, the other half.
The have-nots. It's like 90-10, right? The have-nots is like 90%, and the haves is like 10%.
And this gap is increasing.
No, increasing. Our next guy, we're coming to number one. Number two is Einstein. And again, we get letters when we talk about him. He is a real god, and I'm sure he was not intentionally part of this I'm sure none of them were really intentionally trying to do this, but they were really led astray by the false prophet, by false ideas, and by the false metaphysics that we talked about at the beginning of Aristotle. Einstein's great flaw, and he's led us into a lot of problems, especially in our energy policy in the world. What was it?
One of the criticisms we get when we speak about Einstein is that when we say that Dr. Kepi said the mistake of Einstein was to believe that energy comes from matter. All the physicists come and say, oh no, Einstein never said that. I'm sorry to say for these physicists and that they don't understand anything of philosophy at all. Yeah. They should study philosophy first, because Einstein was based on a philosophy, a previous philosophy. And the simple formula E equals mc squared shows that energy comes from matter, because if you don't have matter, you don't have energy.
Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. If you take the m out of the equation, you have
energy
no E.
Energy is zero. So that's the reason why Einstein is considered, when we study philosophy of relativity, Einstein is considered the most materialistic scientist of all.
In history.
In history, with his theories.
His theory is completely materialistic.
Yeah, he completely instituted the idea of nothing in science. Or you have matter and energy encapsulated in matter, in particles, or you have nothing. And even worse than that, he linked energy to external motion, as if the speed of light would lead to energy. Mass in speed would increase and lead to energy. This is crazy, you know, because external motion comes from internal vibration. The same mistake Freud did in his psychology, Einstein did in his physics. And the entire world follows and doesn't perceive that.
Yes.
Something so clear. And that's why the phenomenon of resonance was put aside, because the resonance is the word that explains how the universe was created and put together. But for Einstein, it's not even considered. You know why? Because if matter is the essence of the universe, so where resonance has place?
You have no need for resonance.
No need for resonance as the primary variable of the universe, you see.
Right.
But, opposition of Einstein, we had Nikola Tesla in the beginning of the century, and Nikola Tesla was saying that Einstein would lead with this idea to the destruction of the physical world.
Not only
through the creation of the atomic bomb, which was also a bad thing that happened, but we would deplete the material world in search for elements, material elements, to extract energy.
Which is exactly what we're doing. We're looking for more material elements to get the energy from.
And now
we're looking for like more renewable resources, like growing sugar cane to make ethanol or corn or whatever. We're looking for wind power. We're looking for energy from the sun. We're looking for these kinds of forms, and we're missing the whole aspect of the energy that exists through the resonance
of energy
with this universal source of energy.
So I would like to clarify that for Dr. Kepi, energy is emanated from the being, from this Godfather. The Godfather emanates this energy, and through resonance, this energy creates particles. And energy is always superior to matter, is not equivalent, like Einstein meant. Energy is superior to matter. Where there is no matter, there is energy. In vacuum, there is energy. Today, quantum physics says that, but in a wrong way as well, because they believe this energy comes from ghost particles in virtual world. This is crazy. It's a crazy theory.
So Einstein has led us into a strictly material.
Strictly material.
Using material to get energy, and this is very, very destructive.
And you see, Richard, the underlying idea behind all of these thinkers we just commented now is materialism. Is to cut with spirituality. Freud, Darwin, Karl Marx, Adam Smith, Einstein, and the next one,
Louis Pasteur,
which is the biggest beast of all, Louis Pasteur.
And we're just starting to study him now here in Dr. Kepi's work, because nobody has sort of questioned this. But now that we're starting to look at this a lot closer, we can see that Pasteur did an enormous disservice by projecting that the problem of the disease comes from a microbe, a germ, a virus, a bacteria from the outside in, augmented the paranoia of the human being. And this is a totally materialistic idea again, and a wrong idea.
In his times, Richard, there was another scientist called Bichon, Antoine Bichon, another French scientist, both of them biologists. And what happened? Bichon had another opinion about the diseases, the opposite opinion, let's say. Bichon believed that the internal structure of the body would create bacteria.
The internal environment.
Yes.
You talk about the environment inside, the way the person is inside. This would create the proper laboratory for the virus or bacteria to
create conditions for bacteria to grow and attack you. So for Bichon, is the internal structure, the internal environment would be responsible for the diseases. And so this would lead human beings to make connections about his psychological life and stress of society, social structure, and his diseases.
If we had continued his studies, we would have arrived at this conclusion, but that was completely cut out of science. People wanted to make money from drugs to fight the germs that Pasteur had suggested. And so Bechamp's idea was not interesting for them. But Dr. Kepi has finished now, I think, the Bechamp and Gustav Enderlein. From Germany, these two guys were exploring
and
this.
Claude Bernard,
too, of France, were exploring this inner environment. And Dr. Kepi now has really completed this study, this science, showing Pasteur to be a complete imposter.
Imposter, yeah.
And that a completely bad scientist. And that all of our health conditions are created by our internal psychological life, not our physical life. Our physical is totally dominated by our psychological, spiritual aspect. And this is the great completion that Dr. Kepi has done to remove all of these seven beasts, or at least to correct their mistakes and put us on the right path again.
Yeah. And the basic spirit Pasteur helped spread out in the world was the spirit of paranoia. Well, humanity has never been so paranoid like now. We believe if you do not wash your hands continuously, you will get sickness from outside. And this, even if this false prophet going against what Christ said in the Bible, what turns a man filthy.
Right. The filth, what makes a man filthy is something.
Is not what comes from his mouth, but what comes out from the mouth. That our sickness comes from our thoughts, from our wrong desires, and not from what we eat. But it's not a fruit that was not washed properly that will cause you a disease. It's not the flu of somebody else that will make you become sick as well, you know.
It's something going on inside you. Dr. Kepi talks about this as that what makes a person sick is when the inner force loses power. When our immune system loses force, it can't fight. And this is caused by our attitude, by our psychological, spiritual attitude about things.
I had a friend, Richard, who told me that always when he didn't want to go to work, he wanted to get flu.
You want to get a flu or a cold or
yes,
something.
Yes, a flu or a cold. And he got, because it was appropriate for him, it was like nice for him. He could stay at home watching a football. And this repeatedly. So human beings, they use these tricks, even if it's unconscious to them.
Now, what is the great thing that Dr. Kepi has done for us as we wrap up our podcast? What has he been able to do with his Science of Analytical Trilogy, in your opinion? He has resolved these questions we've been dealing with these seven men, and found a new science, new orientation. How would you describe what he's done?
Dr. Kepi made a huge, huge, huge work, and I suggest all of the listeners to go to the internet and try to find more about Dr. Kepi's work. Because Dr. Kepi is just pointing out the basic mistakes of this false prophet, let's say. And the mistake is that we always wanted to look for our happiness and our problems outside of us. And he created a method called interiorization method that leads you to identify inside of you your problems that you are seeing outside. For example, whenever, I give a practical example, whenever some kind of problem bothers you, you may ask this question: what do I associate that thing? And let me give a practical example. A friend of mine, he was in a traffic and he was very pissed off with the traffic. And then when the traffic started to move, another guy came from the back and just cut in front of him. And he got extremely furious. When I asked him, why did you get furious? And he got a headache after that, you know, and he starts to blow up the horn and say, wow, you're dishonest. How do you do that? I'm here half an hour stop, and when the traffic starts to move, you pass my front.
Son of a bitch.
And then he said, well, I got so furious because the guy was so dishonest. I said to him, you praise dishonest in your life.
You think that dishonesty has an advantage.
It has an advantage. This is his unconscious wish.
Yes.
He believes that dishonesty can give you advantages in life.
One of my students had exactly the same reaction, and I asked him about the same thing, and he said, well, that guy's getting there ahead of me. I said, so you see an advantage in this kind of behavior, but it's not an advantage to be like that. Somebody who cuts in front of you like that is being very dangerous, and is not being of a benefit to themselves. And it was very interesting with this student. I took a bunch of students out for pizza a few months later, and the pizza was very slow to arrive. So how did my student react? He reacted with aggression. He got up, he pounded the table. He said, where's our pizza? And then he sat down with a big smile on his face, and he said, now we'll get some service. So he saw advantage in aggressive behavior. He saw that that's how you get things done.
Yeah, and Richard, another very simple example is when we criticize politicians because they impose a lot of taxes here in Brazil. It's so common that there are lots of taxes and they steal money from the people. This everybody knows here. And people get furious with them. And why do they get furious? Because they see an advantage in robbing.
Yeah, they think that guy's getting an advantage by getting some money for nothing. Getting money for nothing is an advantage.
And this has nothing to do with the fact of stealing or not. Because of course, to steal is a bad thing and must be punished. It is not this we are discussing. The fact is that if you get involved to the point of getting a headache, it's because you have the same idea, unconsciously. You don't think you have, but unconsciously you have.
And Dr. Kepi has also corrected the wrong metaphysics of Aristotle. We do not understand reality through our senses. We understand reality through the essence of ourselves, through the contact with the universals, which
exactly,
is the fingerprints of God inside the human being. And this is an enormous advancement for philosophy.
Yeah. So I see, in a spiritual way of seeing things, I see Dr. Kepi with analytical trilogy is debunking this false prophet and enthroning back the God spirit, the Holy Spirit in society. He's simply giving conditions to the human being, to all the population, to look for what is good for themselves and for society as a whole.
When I first came to Brazil, I was not used to bringing the concept of God into any scientific discussion. But without this, science doesn't make sense. Science, after all, should be the search for the truth, and the source of all truth must be part of that consideration. This is Thinking with Somebody Else's Head. I'm Richard Lloyd-Jones. Talk to you next time.